To the essence of the Buddhas of the Three Times, the Lord of all families, I prostrate with my three greats to the Gurus. In all times and situations, gaze at me with compassion and take care of me. In actuality, you are equal to the Buddhas in qualities, but you are superior to them in kindness to me. So I prostrate to the root and to the root Gurus. It's a prostration to the Karmapa, the Yudam Vajravarahi, and the Dharma protector Dorje Bernachen. Glorious great Guru, glorious precious great Guru, please sit in my within my throat on a lotus moon seat. Care for me with great compassion and grant the cities of body, speech, and mind. May all those in the Ten Directions who are students of the Buddha come here to listen to the Dharma. In the language of the gods, the tongues of Nagas, the tongues of Yakshas, Kumbhanas, and humans, in all the languages that Buddhist beings speak, may I teach Dharma in every single language. Now think to yourself that in order to bring all sentient beings throughout space to the state of complete and perfect Buddhahood, by no matter what, you must do this. And that it is for this reason that you are listening to the Dharma. And so please listen to the Dharma. Now, the Dharma that we listen to are the two stages of shamatha and insight meditation. And shamatha meditation is primarily here's the, I have primarily taught the shamatha meditation of focusing on the breath, and I emphasize the counting and following the breath. Now, with insight, we have the common insight with the common to the foundation vehicles, and generally this insight that is generally there is the insight that is common of the foundation vehicles, and there is the particular of the Mahayana, and there is also the special insight meditation of the Vajrayana. And so here this is the insight that is it's common with the foundation vehicle, and so these are the four foundations of body, feeling, mind, and dharmas. And looking at the focusing on the body and having the foundation of mindfulness, focus on the body. I have also explained the foundation of mindfulness, focusing on feelings. And this morning, I spoke a bit about the topic of the foundation of mindfulness, focused on mind. And so now here, we will take it that the refuge in bodhicitta that we have already recited is enough, and we don't need to recite these together again. We have already recited the text of going for refuge in bodhicitta. So now for the main topic, once again, we will do another practice of the foundation of mindfulness, and at this time, we'll do the foundation of mindfulness of the mind. So before, we looked at the specific characteristics of mind, the mind that is what knows, understands, what is aware of objects. Yesterday I gave the example of a candle, right? And because it is able to know other cognitions, other objects, and it is also manifest to itself. And so from the very beginning, being manifest to itself and knowing that is actually difficult. It's difficult to understand that. And so because we have to do this in terms of an object, and in this instance, we're using thoughts as the object. So whatever thought arises, we look at that thought. And when we look at that thought, then there are two experiences that can happen. Do you remember yourself? So among all of you, is that during lunchtime, during the break, how many of you actually meditated during the break? There are more and more. During the break, how many people thought, oh, I ought to meditate, but then forgot? How many of you were like that? And some people thought, I meditated, but I didn't really forget, but I got lazy and I didn't do it. How many? Oh, okay. That's also a thought, right? I got to do it. Oh, I forgot. There's that thought, right? It's okay to look at that thought, right? Oh, I got lazy. That's another thought, right? And it's okay to look at that thought, too. Whatever arises, look at the fresh essence of thought, not altering. So whatever arises in your mind, you look at that freshness of that thought, and not altering it. You just rest within that, without undistracted, then that becomes the foundation of mindfulness of mind. So whatever thought that's good or bad, if you just look, you just sit and looking at it and hear. And when it's out of that mind, it's looking at the mind that is able to know and think, it's looking at the specific characteristics. So now sit up straight. And so in this way, if you're looking at the mind, there are two experiences. And do you remember these two that can happen? What is the first? When you look at the thought, you lose the thought. And it becomes like you can't think of anything, like you don't know how to look. It's like the thought disappears, it goes away. You lose the thought. That's the first experience. The second experience is, when you're looking at things, you're able to look at it. The same as when you're looking at the breath. The breath comes in and goes out, comes in and goes out. At the same time, the thoughts go one after another and after another and one after another. And in this way, you're able to look at them, like looking at a river. Like looking at the river. As the river flows, and if you're looking at it, you're not in the water, but still, you see the water, and you don't need to stop the water. You don't need to block your thoughts. There are these two experiences, and whichever of these two happens is okay. If you think you can think, you don't need to have any thought, I don't need any thought, or that I shouldn't have any thoughts. You don't need to choose between them. Just rest, put your hands in the mudra of equipoise, and then close your eyes as you sit. Now whatever thought there is in your mind, just look at it. Just sit looking at whatever thought is in your mind. Now, open your eyes and just look at whatever thought comes. Okay. There are these two experiences, right? When you look at the thoughts, either the first experience is you lose the thoughts and you're unable to look at them. That's the first experience. And the second is that when you're looking at the thoughts, it's like watching a movie. It's like when you're watching a movie on the screen, and you have all the different various things appear on the screen in front. And similarly, there's all the different thoughts that occur on the thoughts, and you're able to look at it. It doesn't matter which of these two occur. So how is it for you all? If it was that when you looked at the thoughts and they disappeared, raise your hand. If you looked at the thought and the thought disappeared, then the mind is coming into the lack of a focus, as being the mind without a focus. And this is called the shamatha without attributes, and there's no particularity, just rest within that. It doesn't last long. Immediately another thought will come. And then another second. The moment you say it, then it goes away. It's like the bus. So the bus, and the bus is waiting on the, you're waiting for the bus, you think the bus is going to come. And you're waiting for the bus to come. And the bus comes, and when it gets up to you, and you think you're going to go to that, and it immediately goes away. Similarly, with the thought, if you're waiting for that thought, you've got that awareness of thinking, oh, where is the thought? Other than there's no thought, where is the thought? You have that thought. And when you're looking at it, there's no thought. And at some point, another thought will come. When you look at it, then the thought goes away. It disappears. And if that happens, then you just leave it like that. Some of you, when you look at it, you can see the thought. You can watch the thoughts. Like watching a movie. Like watching a river. If you're able to look at a thought, then raise your hands. That's also very good. If you're able to look at the thought itself becomes the support for the mind not to be distracted. When you're focusing on the breath becomes the support for the mind for the mind not to be distracted. And so when you look at the thought, if you can look at it, then it becomes a support for you to look at the mind. And as it changes, you see that it changes, and that is a support for prajna. And since you don't have any idea of creating anything or of any blocking, you don't have any attachment or aversion either. And so when the mind arises the nature of prajna, you're able to look at the mind without attachment and aversion, then you'll gradually be able to see the actual nature of the mind. And so these are really important points. And so then, it's in this way when we're looking at it, and then at some point, you're going to have a few, if you have an affliction that arises, then it's okay to look at it. Or if a feeling of suffering that comes up, it's okay to look at it. Whether it's good, bad, medium, whatever happens, it's okay. Pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, whatever happens is okay. If you're looking. First, when we're focusing on the breath, and we're doing the shamatha meditation, the breath, whether it's good, smooth, and long, it's fine. Or if it's uneven or so forth, that's also fine. There's no different. The particular feature, the four foundations of mindfulness, whatever happens, you just rest your mind in that. And you have the support for the awareness. And then when you look at the awareness, then you see you're looking at the nature of the mind, so then it becomes the nature of prajna. And so in the similar way, when you have look at whatever's happening, it's the thought as a support of the object, then at some point, then the nature of that object will become closer, become clearer and clearer. So right now, the main thing we have been speaking about has been the, now what we'll speak about is the universal characteristic of mind. So the basic of the characteristic, universal characteristic is what? What is its specific characteristic? It's the nature of being aware, clear and aware. And then the other is what? Empty. So empty in particular, when we're meditating on the foundation of mind, a mindfulness of mind, it's easy to understand the emptiness. With the body, it's easy to understand the impermanence. With the feeling, it's easy to understand that it's suffering. With the mind, it's easy to understand that it's emptiness. Now here, this emptiness, matches the foundation vehicle, and that emptiness in the foundation vehicle means that it's empty of any singular, permanent, autonomous thing. Because the indivisible instance of mind are ultimate existence. So you've got that moment that is between the past and the future. And when you go into the smallest, you've got that one instant. And with that instant, you have 64. And one of those 64th parts exists, it says. That's the indivisible invisible moment of mind. When, as we, knowing the mind is the when we look at the mind, that it's seeing that it's the selflessness or the emptiness that is empty of it being a single thing, a single permanent thing. So when we look at the mind, when we look at it, the thoughts, when the thoughts don't, we don't really see any color or shape or so forth in the thoughts, do we? Then, as we gradually think, as we're looking at the thoughts, and many things, we often don't find the thoughts. We don't see them. And when that happens, you rest on them. And if you find a thought, then you actually look at that thought, and you're looking at that thought well. Then you see it has many parts. So hold one hand out in front of yourself like this. On your palm of your hand, imagine there's an orange. A really tasty, the best orange in the entire world, and think that you have this best orange in the world in your eyes. Close your eyes. You've got the best orange in the world in your hand. There's a bit of warmth in the weather now. The orange is really cool and juicy. It's a sweet flavor. It's an orange with 100 different flavors, and how tasty it would be if we ate it. And so you imagine that you bring the... And bring it so that it's up to the close... Now smell the... Bring it up close to your nose and smell the orange. You can smell the orange, right? Now put your other... Hold the other hand up. And now imagine that you're peeling the orange. Peeling the orange. Might peel off the screen. You open off the peel. Oh, yeah. Now take one piece of the orange and eat that piece of orange. Put it in your mouth. Now open your eyes. There's no orange. Did you get a lot of saliva in your mouth? Did you have saliva or not? Raise your hand if you salivated. Okay, you can put your hands down. So these are our thoughts that conflate words and entities. So within our hands, if we think that we have a orange in the palm of our hands, and we have the idea, we have the universal image of this, the orange, the round orange with the peel, and then inside we have all the sections. There's that shape, and at the same time, there we have the name orange. The orange, and so this is like the universal question. At the same time, there's a feeling that in your body, you have you start to salivate, right? And you think about the best orange in the world, and you think, oh, how do it must be really good. And so that's physical feeling that comes up, right? That sensation. At the same time as that, there's a sort of attention. In the past, you've eaten oranges. And if you like oranges, if you eat the oranges, it's tasty, it's sweet. It'll like slake your thirst. If you don't like sorts, then it's like, I don't feel like eating that. I don't eat even unless people really insist. You have this feeling of displeasure. So these thoughts of either aversion or attachment. So when you say orange, is that thought that says orange, and it's got four or five parts, right? It's got the entity universal. It's got the name universal, knowing that it's saying the names. So what should I do? And so is it okay or not? Is it going to be? And so we really speak quite a bit. And at the same time, we have this feeling in our body, right? And at the same time, we have this this ideas that come up with it. And then when we have it in this, that thought, that single thought, if we look at it just as if we look at the thought, that it has many different parts to it. It's just one. It's just one part of a single thing. Orange, that thought. There's no single whole thought. It's got many different parts. And so when I say, and it's not just with the thought of an orange. The thoughts of panic, like with panic attacks, it's the same. When you feel anger, it's the same. You see the object that you don't like, the enemies that appears in your mind, or either an orange, or some people get angry at houses. They get angry at tables. They get angry at themselves. There's an object for it at the same time. They say various things in their mind. There are words that come along. At the same time, there's like a fire in their chest and their heart. There's a feeling, and there are physical feeling and mental feelings. And at the same time, there are ideas. It's like, I can't do that. They shouldn't do that. That's a really low-life person. That's really something that gives everyone a hard time. But you think that that's actually the same that is. And so is this mental idea about this. And that is the view, the wrong view. There are many aspects to it. And because there's afflicted prajna. So the prajna, it has many, when you look at the different parts of the, all of these things must change in every moment. And they're all impermanent. They're all suffering. They're not single. There's no autonomous anger that we can say it is this. So there's same with any affliction. So the also the fact that it's empty of any permanent, singular, and autonomous thing, then that is the emptiness. And this is the universal characteristic of this. So being emptiness, empty of the singular, permanence, and autonomous is the is that. So now sit up straight. And we look at a thought in this way. Now sit up straight. First of all, relax your body and mind. Close your eyes. Now, there are the thoughts in your mind, the afflictions, whatever there is in your mind. Look at that affliction. Like an orange, if you think about an orange. There's the image, the universal image. There's the word universal of it, and think that there are many different aspects of it. And at the same time, there's a feeling in your body. If you like the orange, there's a feeling of pleasure. If you don't like oranges, there's a feeling of displeasure, or there's an unpleasant feeling. And at the same time, there's the idea. If you're thinking about the orange, you think about, there's a thought that there's sweetness and juice. If you think about the, if you ate it, how it would benefit the body, help the body, or the thought that it would harm your stomach, and so forth, different thoughts. You needed to look at all of those. You look at them, other than that, you don't need to change or take up or give up or reject any. And when you're looking at them in this way, if the thoughts and the afflictions don't arise, then you rest in that them not arising. That's the emptiness. There's a moment. There's just a moment of emptiness that arises. A glimpse of emptiness. If a thought, the affliction arises, then look at it. It has many different parts. It changes in every moment. It is nature. Seeing its nature, that also is empty. It's the emptiness that accords with the foundation vehicles, the being empty of the single, permanent, and autonomous nature. Now, open your eyes. Look at whatever thought that has a multiple impermanent nature. Look at it. It has a different when you look at the universal, the meaning universal, and so forth, and rest within that. Don't change it at all. Just look at its nature. Okay, now just let your mind be and just rest however your mind is. Okay. So how was it? Were the thoughts changing impermanent? Did you see them as being impermanent or as having many parts? Doesn't matter if it's a thought or an affliction. If you could see that, raise your hand. Well, that's it. Since the nature of thoughts, if you look at it, it's not all that difficult to actually see it. Now, if you haven't seen it, if you didn't find a thought, then you rest within that. So in this way, there's no creating or blocking anything. And if you practice in this way, then that emptiness that fits with you'll realize that emptiness that fits with the foundation of Vyakulit. And so this is the practice of the mindfulness of mind with the universal and specific characteristics of mind. Following this is the foundation of mindfulness of dharmas. Now this is in general, this foundation of mindfulness of dharmas also has both the specific and useful characteristics. And so the dharma, the specific characteristic is of dharmas. And what's the characteristic of a dharma? Something that holds its own characteristics. That's the characteristic of dharma. Like a pillar or a vase or a building, a human or a horse or a cow or whatever. Yeah, there's the form that is the object of eye, the sound that is the object of the ear, and the scent that is the object of nose, the taste that is the object of taste, the touch that is the object of the body, and so forth. All phenomena, all dharmas, are phenomena that appear in the mind if you just rest with your mind undistracted on those objects. And it's just merely mechanizing the objects, recognize the pillars are pillars, recognize that sounds are sounds. And so that. So when there's a sound, then you focus on the sound, following that sound. There is a scent, and you just recognize it and rest knowing it. And so at this point, we will do the shamatha meditation of focusing on sound. So first, all of you, please sit up straight. And if you sit up straight for a long time. When you sit up straight for a long time, it becomes really good support for focusing on the mindfulness of body. Like I was asking this morning, do your backs hurt or not? If your backs and your foot and your knees and so forth hurt, raise your hands. Oh, excellent. So we have this is the basis for meditating on the mindfulness of feelings is a feeling of pain, isn't it? So it's one basis. When you're looking at the feeling of pain, that pain naturally pulls your awareness. For example, when you have a toothache, then the mind just always goes right to that tooth. When you're looking at even if you look at a movie, your mind goes to that. If you're going outside, if you're going to buy chili noodles, then you still think about your toothache. When you're doing something else, then your awareness goes to your thoughts. So if you're able to focus your mind on that, it's you're able to look at it for a long time. At the same time, as you increase the strength of your, it'll increase the strength of your awareness and it'll become a great benefit to your practice. So basically, if you're able to meditate when you have difficulty or adversity or pain or suffering, it's really powerful, really beneficial. And so please, all of you, first of all, I'm going to ask you to do some meditation on the foundation of feeling. Sit up straight, close your eyes. Now feel whatever feeling you feel at the on the crown of your head, direct your attention to that. Then scan with your intention from the crown of your head down to the soles of your feet. Now, whatever feelings you feel in your body, it doesn't matter, the order is not so important, just follow them. In one body, if you look at, you don't need to look at any particular part of your body for a very long time. Just go shifting from one part to the next, from your crown to down to your soles of your feet. And then once again, you look at from the crown of your head down to the soles of your feet. Now, sit listening to sounds. Just merely sit hearing the sound. So whatever sound there is, fine. So if a car is going by outside, there's either the sound of the cars, the sound of people speaking, people coughing, well, whatever sound you hear, it's fine. Between one sound and the next, it's okay to. You can change from it. You don't need to stay focusing on just one. The ear faculty, whatever sound you hear through your ears, just merely know, be aware of that sound. Gradually open your eyes. Look at whatever thing in front of yourself. Whether it's me, for me, I have this flower in front of you, right? So looking at the flowers and the seed, you know, just merely snow and being aware of them. For you, it's not necessarily flowers. It might be the back of someone else's head. Whether it's a round head or a square head, whatever, it doesn't matter. Okay. How did it go? Was it easier to look at the, hear the, listen to the sound, or to look at a form? If it was easier to direct your attention toward a sound, raise your hand. Okay. If it's easier to look at, direct your attention toward the form, raise your hand. Oh, okay. This isn't generally. The different people have different constitutions. In some systems of meditation, you begin with this foundation of mindfulness of dharmas, and you look at at forms and sounds and so forth, beginning with your practice. There's some like that. And for example, now when you're taking all of the four foundations, if it's just too much for you, then whatever the one is easiest for you, whatever one kind of fits the way you think, then you can practice that one among all the different foundations of mindfulness we've discussed. Then at some point you begin to get some experience that you can move to another one. For most people, it's easier to do the practice focusing on sound, and so you can practice that. That's fine. Looking at, then you can also try practice. Then focusing on scent, verse you can do anytime. When you have scent and taste, then you have that's you can only do that when you're eating. So this evening, when you look at, and please practice with the scent and the taste. And tomorrow, I'm going to take a test. This evening. You're going to go get some food, right? When you get your food, it's very close. When you're getting close to it, then you're going to hear that you're going to smell the delicious scent of the food, right? When you inhale, you just merely experience it as you breathe in, and as you breathe out, then you just rest and you breathe in, and not like that. And as you've got the food and it's in your bowl, either put it in your bowl or it. And then at that point, the scent gets even stronger, right? Especially, and if you're really hungry, then you think that it has a really delicious flavor, scent. And you smell the scent as you stay. Then as you bring it to come closer and closer to you, as you're getting close to the mouth, there's even a stronger scent at that point. So focus on the scent. Then as you eat, while you're eating, you eat it well, and you feel it in your mouth. It said you need to leave it in your mouth for a while. It's not like a dog or it's like when you give like a kidney to a dog, the dog will eat it immediately, right? There's nothing. So at that point, it's just that you need to leave it in your mouth a little while and chew it. And if you chew it for a while, then the flavor is there. It's also a benefit for your body. It's better for your stomach. It's also easier to digest. So it's very good. So do that as you eat the food. So this evening, tomorrow evening, and from tomorrow at breakfast, this is your homework. Please do this homework. Do you understand? And so at the same time, so the already talked about the when we talk, so generally when we're sitting and we think it's said that the foundations of mindfulness, feeling and mind are like aspects of the foundation of mindfulness. But because we have to go through all the four characteristics of impermanent suffering, selfless, empty, and selfless. And so for that reason, you go through these first three first. You do the practice of them, you practice them well, and at the end, then you do the practice of the foundational mindfulness of dharmas. And this is primarily for understanding selflessness, to come to understand, to determine the definition. The spirit, the specific characteristics are the sound that appears the ear, the form that appears the eyes, and so forth. And you practice on it at some point. Now, the general of the universal characteristics is that it is selfless. Now, just when we talk about the dharmas, when we think about that it was within the five aggregates of our body and mind. There is no separate self that we find. On the basis of our body, feelings, formations, and consciousness, and so forth, there's nothing else we find. There's no single thing. They're always changing, and there are many parts. And so there's no single. There's no, and so this is, as we realize the selflessness, that there's no single permanent selfless thing. That so if you don't, if that I don't, there's a me, there's no better me. Not if there's a me. The main thing is that there is a me. So if we understand that today, it's a matter that there's a me. I don't think that there's. Is that going to help or is that going to not? Shouldn't help. And so if you bind yourself too much, then you think about me too much. Right? So that idea of me, there's some things that we make up, and so there's no if there's no me that is made up in terms of the object itself, and we understand that, and we see then develop that progeny, then we'll know that if we don't need to, we don't eliminate ourselves by insisting on it. If you insist on doing it, then if you try too hard, what is it like? If I say I'm not going to think about a phone, then it becomes we think about it even more. It's the same. If you don't understand that part, many people do practice, and at the end, they get exhausted. It doesn't bring peace and comfort to their body, and it becomes you get even more angry and hatred and more anger and hatred and so forth and upset. And the danger that that'll happen in the past, that should have been. When Javagan Thai Sitram Bishir was there, there was a foreigner who came. This is 20 years ago. This foreigner came to take a teaching from Rinpoche. And Javagan Thai Sitram Bishir Guru Vajradhara taught him about a shamatha and taught him a little bit of selflessness, a little bit about emptiness, and he said, go practice. And he wanted to go practice. And he thought, oh, okay, I came from the West, coming to the East, to the West, was to see that it's to get rid of the idea of there's a me, and to get rid of that idea. So now, I've got this research from Russia. I've received this pretty from Tedan. I'm not going to say me or self, and I'm not even going to think about it. And he made this promise. Is it okay to make this promise? And Rinpoche said, that's not going to help much. You can't just try too hard to get rid of yourself. You have to use your progeny, your mindfulness and awareness. If you know the nature of the self, then knowing that self, if you think that it doesn't help to think about it, as Rinpoche said. But he didn't listen. But he said, I'm gonna get rid of this. I came here to realize selflessness, and And I know the point better. I know it better. I said, I'm going to give up the idea of a self. Talk about with somebody, dude. And I say, it's a you and you and will go to Dharamsala. He didn't say you and me. He said you and will go to Dharamsala. As we got close, there's a place called Palampur that's nearby Shodabling. It's Rinpoche, you and will go to Palampur, right? He wouldn't say me. He would say you and will we go to Dharamsala? If you and shall we go to Dharamsala? If so, you and so I would like to go to Palampur to drink to eat food. And so for a long time he did this, for a very long time. 2 years later, he went crazy. He was just completely insane. It didn't help him at all, right? So if you think I'm not going to get rid of that me, it doesn't help. The self, how do we... So it's made that the ego clinging, knowing the clinging, but we know the nature, if you know the true nature of the object, the nature and the clinging to me and clinging to a self, it just naturally go away. For example, when the sun shines, then the darkness just naturally goes away. It's not like the sun says, okay, you look at darkness, I'm going to get rid of you. The sun doesn't think about that, does it? Likewise, in the early morning, when the moon is there, the mist naturally goes away, dissipates. And so you have the progeny of self, realizing selflessness, it is like the sun, then the ego clinging will gradually dissipate. And so in this way, you go through the impermanent selflessness, empty, impermanent suffering, selflessness, and emptiness, and go through these in this order. And then all the afflictions and all the thoughts of afflictions and suffering will crassly pacified, and in the nature of the mind will be peaceful and joyous, will develop. And it's like the natural peace, as His Holiness the internal happiness, the internal happiness of the mind, as the Karmapa always says. This internal happiness is even better than the happiness given by any external object. And it's more important. The worldly happinesses, they're all impermanent. They change, right? And then they change, and they become the suffering of change. It's at the actual moment that when we actually know the nature of ego, because then the mind becomes more spacious and more workable, then wherever you go, it's nice, it's pleasant, it's okay to stay anywhere. If that doesn't happen, then wherever you go, it's not going to work out. No matter what you do, it's not going to work out. That's what happens, right? And so in this way, when you practice on these four foundations of mindfulness, then gradually you will move from the lesser path of accumulations through the lesser to the medium to the greater. You'll gradually move through these. For example, when you meditate on the four foundations of meditation on the lesser path of accumulations, then you'll gradually eventually come to the greater path, and then gradually you go through all of the 37 factors of mindfulness, and these will all occur because of the meditation on the foundations of mindfulness. Each of complete each of these seven 37 foundations of factors, and so that is the end of my session for today. So now please dedicate all the virtue of practicing the Dharma to the peace in the world, and to all sentient beings, in the short term, overcoming all their suffering and obstacles and so forth, and eventually, ultimately, achieving the state of Buddhahood. And please dedicate it, think that you are dedicating them for this reason.